Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together by setting the intention with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I thank for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
As always, I'd like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday as we consciously join together across the airwaves, linking hearts and minds to deepen in our connection and communion with the ground of our being, God in us, as us. And today is Father's Day, so we honor all fathers, especially our Heavenly Father, the father figures, the grandfathers, the stepfathers, the adoptive fathers, the men that stepped into the roles of being like a father. All of us can identify with one or more. But before we get to that, I would like just to continue in our excavation of the difference between loneliness, alone, and solitude. And today we're going to look at being alone, which, as I said previously, it is not the same as being lonely. You could be alone in a crowded room and feel lonely. And you can be alone by yourself and still feel lonely. Loneliness and being alone and loneliness are not the same thing. One is more emotional than the other. And I love the quote that I shared by Yanya Van Sant yesterday, that there's a very secret sweetness about being alone, that if we are fearful of it, we'll miss. And whilst there's a lot that can be said about isolation and solitude and its effects on people's health, this is not what we are talking about this morning. We're talking about the conscious decision to spend time on our own, to balance the maintenance of being on our own and being in strong social connection. And there's actually scientific backing as to why we should spend more time alone. And I came across this by Amy Morin, 7 reasons that I thought I'd share with you. She says, 1, alone time increases empathy. When you spend time with a certain number of friends, a certain circle of friends, your co-workers or people that you like to hang out with, you can unconsciously develop a we versus them mentality. spending time alone helps you develop more compassion for people who may not be in your inner circle. 2, solitude increases productivity. Although many offices have created open floor plans so that everyone can communicate more easily, studies have shown that being surrounded by people kills productivity. People perform better when they have a little privacy. 3, solitude sparks creativity. There's a reason why lots of authors and artists, painters, etc., go off to the cabins in the woods to write or to paint or to get their creative juices flowing. Being alone allows you to have your thoughts sort of just wander here and there, hither and thither, and just allow the divine ideas to kind of pop up and percolate in your mind, and that allows you to create. I know certainly when I was writing my thesis, being alone and sometimes just walking out by the river, the ideas that would pop into my head out of seemingly nowhere. Someone who spends an awful lot of time alone, it's something that I highly recommend. It can deepen your connection with the spirit of God that is in you. It can open you up to ideas of listening, creative expression, and just allowing yourself to be. She says, continuing Amy Morin's 7 reasons backed by science whilst you should spend time alone. 4, she says, being alone can build mental strength. Whilst it's good, she says, to have strong connections with other people, because we are, after all, social creatures, solitude is just as important. Studies have shown the ability to tolerate alone time has been linked to increased happiness. Now, for many people might think that is the opposite, but spending time alone can increase your happiness, better life satisfaction, and manage your stress management, help improve that. People who spend time and enjoy their time alone experience less depression. 5, solitude may reduce behavior problems in kids. It says when you carve out solitude in your schedule, you show children that being alone is a healthy thing to do. And research shows that kids who learn to be by themselves are better behaved than other children. Being a good role model can teach solitary skills early. 6, she says being alone gives you an opportunity to plan your life. Most people plan their weddings, their vacations, how they spend their time, but most of us do not plan how to get the best out of life. So spending time alone can give you a chance to look at all the times and what you're doing and the energy you put into the hustling and the bustling. That quiet space allows you the opportunity to think about your goals, how you're progressing towards them, what changes you need to make for your life. And 7, she says solitude helps you get to know yourself. Being alone helps you become more comfortable in your own skin. When you're by yourself, you can make choices without outside influences. And that will help you develop more insight into who you are as a person. There have been studies that have shown that people would rather engage in having electrical shocks or doing some mundane tasks rather than spend 6 to 15 minutes alone with themselves with nothing to do but think. When I read that statistic and read that fact, I was actually horrified.
But people are so scared to spend time alone with their thoughts that they would rather administer an electrical shock to themselves. It makes no sense to me why one would choose to inflict pain rather than just being alone, thinking, allowing yourself to be. It just, for me, was incredible. So we can all be proactive in taking and creating time to be alone, even if it's just for a few minutes every day, or even a few minutes in the hour, or every few hours, take a few minutes to stop and pause and breathe, and just allow your thoughts to arise with no judgment of them, with no particular direction or way they need to be. Imagine if you could just do that 10 minutes a day, switch off the cell phone, take yourself away from the computer, and just be. Amy Tan says that we plan vacations, we plan days out, we plan our weddings, we plan big occasions, we plan. But we're not planning our lives. And only when we take time to be alone can we actually plan for our lives. So if it doesn't come natural to you, then maybe it's something that you need to cultivate. Take some time away from friends, partners, spouses, family, and set aside a specific time just to be, not to socialize or do anything, or just be. You know, sometimes people like to spend time with others so they distract from being with themselves, or they'll be constantly checking social media. I've been traveling into town quite a bit, twice last week, and I just sat on the train and the tube observing. It seemed that people were unable to be disengaged from their phone, like it was now such a part of their appendage. The idea of just sitting and being and looking at your fellow passengers, or just allowing whatever thoughts to arise, was so hard for everyone. They needed to be distracted. So now more than ever, my invitation to you is to leave the laptop, leave the phone, leave necessarily being distracted by things to do or friends or family, and just learn to be alone. The sacred text this morning says, from Psalm 16:11, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." My second sacred text is from Isaiah 43:1-2, and it says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you will pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." Excuse me. I selected those sacred texts this morning because truly I wanted to highlight that even if we're thinking we are alone, we never are. Because always we are one with God, God's presence, God's peace, God's joy, God's life, God's love, that is with us through the storms, through the fire, and anything and everything else we can think of. As we are alone, we have an opportunity to allow that presence, that power, that life, that energy that is God, to truly percolate within, as I said, to receive ideas, to receive inspiration, to receive energy. Our sacred text reminds us of that. So, as it's Father's Day, my story that I want to share, and it's too beautiful for me to have edited it, so I'm going to share it in its virtually entirety. And it's Pride Month as well. So honor of Pride Month and Father's Day. This is our story. Dustin and Yasser met at their condominium pool 6.5 years ago. Dustin was new to the building. They began chatting. Fast forward to 2015, the two married on November the 14th. They were also proud dads to daughter Lucy, whom they adopted in 2016. Not long after, they learned Lucy's biological mother was pregnant with her brother, due mid-February. In Dustin's own words, here's his family story. There comes a point in some people's lives where they begin to think about starting a family. Yasser and I have discussed this several times, but really have no idea how to begin the process. From the reading we had done online, we just knew that it could be a long, costly process, full of unknowns. In 2016, we decided to interview a few adoption agencies to see what our options were and how the process works. It didn't take us long to realize we were right. The process is long and costly, with a lot of unknowns. We did an online search and decided to call an agency in the Tampa Bay area. The social worker answered and went over the process with us. She then asked us to share some information about ourselves and what we were looking for in regards to an adoption. Unbelievably, she told us that she had been contacted that very morning by birth parents who were specifically looking to place their child with a same-sex male couple. What are the chances of that happening? She asked if we would like to be considered, and we immediately said yes. She met with the birth parents the next day, and they decided to move forward with placing their child with us. Their child was a precious little girl who had been born 6 weeks prematurely and still in the NICU. It wasn't long until we were completing our home study and meeting with an adoption attorney and birth parents to complete the paperwork. It was such a whirlwind, but it was all worth it when we finally met our little girl, Lucy, in the hospital on July 18, 2016. She was only 4 pounds and had gorgeous red hair. We spent 6 weeks by her side while she was in an ICU. She had some drug exposure and her heart and lungs were still developing. The nurses were so kind, and they taught us everything that we needed to know about how to take care of her. Lucy is now an extremely active 19-month-old and is meeting all her development milestones. In September 2017, we received a call from our adoption attorney, and she had big news. Lucy's birth mother was pregnant again. She wanted to know if we would be interested in adopting again. We totally weren't prepared to go through the adoption process so soon after Lucy, but we just couldn't separate these siblings. We also thought it would be wonderful for Lucy to have the support of her biological sibling. We decided to do everything we could to make the adoption possible. Unlike our adoption with Lucy, the birth mother this time is only a few months along in her pregnancy and needed support. The birth mother can also change her mind at any time during the pregnancy and can't sign any consent forms until 48 hours after the child's birth. This sets up a stressful dynamic in which the adoptive parents have absolutely no guarantee that they will be able to adopt the child, even if they support the birth mother through the entire pregnancy. In our situation, the birth parents also struggled with homelessness, addiction, and criminal history. On February 9, 2018, we traveled to the hospital for the birth of our son, Alex. We spent time with the birth parents and couldn't believe the day had finally come. At this point, we were concerned about the health of the baby since we had suspected the continued drug use and the mother had little prenatal care. The birth mother was also experiencing preeclampsia. Alex was born at 9 a.m. that morning, was taken to the NICU right away with some respiratory diseases. The next day we were told he had multiple drugs in his system and was experiencing withdrawal symptoms. Yasser and I would hold him while he cried and had tremors. It was heartbreaking to see him this way. Exactly 48 hours after Alex's birth, the birth mother signed the consent form and was discharged from the hospital. As you can imagine, it was such a relief when she signed. Alex is still in the NICU, and we are having to travel several hours back and forth to visit him. But he's getting better every day, and we can't wait to bring him home to meet his big sister, Lucy. think we can all agree that truly is a moving and heartfelt Father's Day story. My poem is entitled Silent Strong Dad by Karen K. Boyer. He never looks for praises. He just goes on quietly working for those he loves the most. His dreams are seldom spoken. His wants are very few. And most of the time his worries will go unspoken too. He's there, a firm foundation through all our storms of life. A sturdy hand to hold on to in times of stress and strife. A true friend we can turn to when times are good or bad. One of our greatest blessings, that man we call Dad. My Science with My Readings, entitled Father's Day, our first quote comes from Barbara De Angelis. The journey between who you once were and who you are now becoming is where the dance of life really begins. The second quote is from Ernest Holmes, The Science of Mind. I now realize that the infinite personalness of the spirit is my personality, and I rejoice to know the truth about myself. The author writes, on this Father's Day, I honor the strength within each of us. The sheer will that answers the question, what needs to be done? What changes must I make? I also honor our greatest strength, our personal relationship with the God of our understanding. The relationship that guides us as we make those needs changes, make those needed changes. Born of the Creator, we all share the same spiritual DNA of peace, love, joy and caring. Given the free will to make our own choices, we live our lives as individuals. As we each do the best we can with the consciousness we have at the time, the Creator holds us in unconditional acceptance and love. Today, my prayer is to do the same. When I'm tempted to doubt the presence of love in another, I turn to prayer. Wrapped in the beloved's energy, I sense the divine message. All who exist are infused with my peace and my love. Whether they choose to acknowledge it is up to them, because I have no expectation. I love and accept everyone just as they are, including you, my cherished one. Now I know that I too can make the same choice. On this Father's Day, I see past outward appearances to honor others just as they are, knowing we are all doing the best we can with what we have in this moment. I take responsibility for my own healing and happiness. It's true of all of us. So happy Father's Day to us all. So my beloved, if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within. Bring your attention to your breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. Always, I like to remind you of the words of Job. He said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. So as we take the next three deep breaths in, let us be cognizant that we are breathing in the breath of life itself. And on this Father's Day, let us be truly grateful for our Heavenly Father that gives life and breath to all. Inhale. Lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach, and breathing the life-giving, energizing breath of God. Hold. Gently, slowly release. inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly. And for the third and final time, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly release. We like to take this time to honor the body temple that houses and resides the spirit of our Heavenly Father. That spirit that operates unconsciously through us, without us directing, without us instructing, without us telling what it should do and what it shouldn't do. It functions without us taking a moment to acknowledge it or to be grateful for it. So we take this time to honor both the positive and to let go of the negative emotions that our organs store. So bring your attention down into your heart. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work that that heart carries out, that if it didn't do, we would not live. Take the blood and pump it around our body. So as you inhale, affirm, this is my breath as I breathe in love. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in joy. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out impatience. Bring your attention to your kidneys. Take a moment and be grateful for how your kidneys work, eliminating all the toxins and the waste substances from your body. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in calmness. This is my breath, I breathe out stress. Now bring attention to your liver, the right side of your body, onto the ribcage. And take a moment to acknowledge deep, deep gratitude. The work that your liver does as it cleanses and detoxifies the blood, combats infections. The largest organ in your body, and it can self-generate. It is a powerful and beautiful organ. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in kindness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out frustration. I'm going to bring your attention to your lungs. These wonderful organs that bring in the air from the atmosphere and then pass the oxygen through your bloodstream that is so necessary and vital for your cells. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in honesty. exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Bring your attention to your stomach. Take a moment to honor your stomach. Too often we complain about it, how big it is, how fat it is, how fat we are. All these things are irrelevant. Take a moment to be grateful how your stomach takes in the food, stores it, mixes it, breaks it down, and extracts the nutrients that your body needs for nourishment and for energy. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. Take a moment to acknowledge all the other systems that run in our body that we are so unconscious of. And let us just be grateful for the skeletal, the nervous, the muscular, the respiratory, the endocrine, the immune, the cardiovascular, the urinary, the integumentary, the reproductive, the digestive system. Take a moment just to be grateful for each of these systems working perfectly through you now. And let's affirm. The divine within me is wholeness, and my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. Take a deep breath as we enter now into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. Let us also take a moment to hold our fathers in our hearts, those that are living, and those that are with God. Any father figures, anyone that we hold dear in the role of fatherhood. Mother, Father, God, as we consciously come into your presence this day, we are honoring and offering deep gratitude for the fathers, the father figures that have been present in our lives. We know that they are an aspect and a representation of you, our Heavenly Father, that loves, that provides, that works for our very best and highest good. And whilst there may be some fathers that do not step into that role or have not honored the children the way they should be, nevertheless, we include them in this prayer this morning. We ask the blessings upon all fathers. We ask blessings for their health. We ask blessings for their wisdom. We ask blessings for them to be strengthened and emboldened as they continue to provide for their families. We ask blessings in whatever shape or need that they need. For these are indeed challenging times to be a parent. So Mother, Father, God, as we place all fathers in this circle of prayer at this time, not only our personal fathers, but all fathers, wherever they may be in this world, as they try to provide and meet the needs of their families. Bless them, strengthen them, embolden them, that they may continue to be the stronghold within each family. And as we continue our understanding into what it is to be alone, we know that there is nothing to fear. That when we are alone, we are always in your presence. There's no space or spot or place where we can be, where we are ever separated from you. But let us honor in taking time to learn to be alone, how it can bless and benefit us, and ultimately bless and benefit others. Let us be the kind of person where we're happy to spend time alone with. Let us honor our connections to one another, but most of all, honor our connection to ourselves. Mother, Father, God, there's so much happening across our world. For those that have been or struggling through natural disasters over in the Asian continent where monsoons are happening, floods and mudslides, those areas where there's food scarcity, for those areas where there is war, for those areas where there is individual and collective strife with the government. You've given us free choice to express, to be, to do or not do. And while some are abusing that, touch our hearts and our minds that we may honor those choices, that we may remember who we are and whose we are, and live from an attitude of inclusion, of acceptance, of oneness. So we take time to see our world peace-filled, loving, compassionate, kind. Mother, Father, God, as you know the needs of us individually and collectively, you are able to do exceedingly more abundantly than we can ask or think. And for those celebrating their birthday today, we are special blessings of joy, of happiness, of good health, of long life and abundance for them. For anything I have failed to ask, I know you will not fail to bless. For as our teacher constantly, continuously reminded us, it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Let us take time to be alone and connect with that kingdom, so we can receive the all good you have for us. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever grateful. Thank you. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Stretch your hands towards the sky, wiggle your fingers and affirm aloud, I open myself to the oneness of all of life. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm, I radiate love to all who I meet. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words that affirm the quality of life I want. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open and affirm, I'm continuously grateful for all my blessings, seen and unseen. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists and affirm, I let go of any real or perceived shortcomings I may have. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for our
science of mind affirmation and our Buddhist reflection. Repeat after me. It's Father's Day.
It's Father's Day.
And I honor my own strength.
And I honor my own strength.
As I take responsibility.
As I take responsibility.
For my own peace and happiness.
My own peace and happiness.
Our Buddhist reflections, if anyone has hurt or harmed me.
If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
I forgive the past and close the door. Forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace. I accept myself and I am free. May I feel protected and safe. Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength. May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. Our prayer of intention, I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without, radiating brightly.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Our rumination, our Ruby quote for this week. Rumi says there is a freedom more precious than the world, infinitely more precious than life and the world, is that moment when one is alone with God. So my closing benediction for Father's Day by Bob Stevenson. For those grieving the loss of a precious father, may the peace and presence of our Heavenly Father would be closer than a heartbeat to you. For those torn up by absent, wicked, or abusive fathers, may you know the lies spoken over you are not true, that you do matter, and that you might find hope in the Father who is good and will not let the guilty go unpunished. For those celebrating dear fathers who have loved well, may you be filled with deep gratitude
and that your gratitude for a person would carry your heart to worship of the father your dad echoes. For the longing, for those longing to be a father and yet unable, may you find space today to grieve well, and that you would know your cries are not lost in the void, but heard and held in the love by your Father in heaven, who is working for your good. For those who are overwhelmed with the daily demands of fatherhood and know your shortcomings all too well, may you rest in the grace of God today and find ever-deepening dependence on his sustaining power as this day comes to a close. So my closing song for Father's Day is by Keith Urban, entitled A Song for Dad. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Lately I've been noticing I say the same thing to you I say. And I even find myself acting the very same way. I've got my fingers on the table to the rhythm in my soul. And I jingle the car keys when I'm ready to go. When I look in the mirror, he's right there in my eyes, staring back at me. And I realize the older I get, the more I can see how much he loves my brother and me. And it feels the best and the truth. I'll be home when I have my own family. Every day I see a little more of my father.
Keith Urban and Song for Dad. I wish
a very happy Father's Day, and if you're celebrating with your dad, have a wonderful time. I look forward to joining you on Thursday, as always, for our midweek prayer, our 10 at 10. Until, peace and blessings.